lovely to have you. Sorry? He's more, oh, well, wife of the century, great. Steve and Sandy, as I said earlier, great to have you with us. And found out that you go to an Elam church in Alloa. I used to work in Alloa. It's not that bad a place after all.
Right, the centre of the universe, isn't it?
I never got over the new bridge, so it's my ambition to come over the new bridge someday. So there we go. Anyway, Steve, great to have you with us. And let's just pray with you before you speak. Father, your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And Father, we would pray that you would, through your word and the power of your Holy Spirit, pierce our hearts, our minds, our souls, our lives with your word for us this morning. Father, just pray that your Holy Spirit would so rest on Steve. That you would just so excite him with the wonder of who you are and your purposes at this time, in this city, on our streets, inside this building. So, Father, we thank you for him. We pray a blessing on him and Sandy. Pray your protection on them. Because we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Am I wired for sound? Are we up and running? Great. Well, thank you for that warm welcome. Thank you for the worship. I so appreciated that this morning. We lived for a long time on Shetland. And for any of you who've been to Shetland, you know that fiddle is a big part of life there. So I really appreciated feeling that this morning. Thank you. Before we begin, can we just close our eyes? Something came to me this morning. I just want to be obedient to what God wants to do. So if we can just close our eyes this morning, and the scripture with which you're all very familiar, I'm sure, is in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God. Just begin to meditate on that for a moment. I wasn't going to speak about this. I just want to take 2 minutes. Just be still. In the busyness of our life, in the busyness even of church life, just be still. And as you come before Father God, as you come before Creator God, know that he wants to affirm you this morning. Know that he cherishes you this morning. In this place, here, now, he affirms you. Just listen to his heartbeat for a moment. What does he want to say to you this morning? His cherished child, the apple of his eye, the one who knows even the hairs on your head. Be still and know that I'm God. Father, I want to thank you for every single person here this morning. I want to thank you for them and their families. I want to thank you that you've drawn and you are drawing them deeper and deeper into your very presence. And Father, for the words that you've given me and as I prepared to bring them this morning, Lord, if they're not of you, I'd say even now, take them away. We want to hear you speak this morning. Father, I come here this morning in fear and trembling, not wanting to use wise and persuasive words, but to see you move through your Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, we just welcome here right at the beginning. Show us more of yourself in what we bring and what we hear this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, my name's Steve. Already been said, I work for Edinburgh City Mission. If you've got anything I say this morning upsets you or you think is heresy, go back and hang it to my boss. He told me to come. Colin invited me. So, being a Yorkshireman, I've got the gift of irritation, and I use it at a maximum, okay? So, is anybody going to be offended if you get irritated this morning? Great, we don't have to lock the doors. What I want to do is share a little bit of what I do, share a little bit of my story, perhaps, tell you some other people's stories, and then look at the biblical basis for what I do and why I'm passionate about it. And if I jump up and down, I make no excuse for that, because that's how excited I am about what I do and what God's doing. Are you excited about being here this morning?
Yes.
Colin told me you were much better than that. Are you actually excited about being here this morning?
Yes.
Okay, we'll try that later on, okay? Where do we begin? I want to just focus a little bit. I've so appreciated the welcome. I've appreciated the worship here this morning. I sense there's a church at the heart of this church. There's a heart. And it's a heart for each other, and it's a heart for people who come. This morning I want to say, where does that finish? Who saw the lady at the gate this morning as they came in? Yeah. Did anybody stop and ask her how she was doing or what her story was? Great. What was that response? Did you see a smile? Did you see her eyes open?
Tears.
You see, that's what happens when we connect with people. And this morning I'm going to be looking about connecting with your community. A little bit about the City Mission. Does anybody know anything about the City Mission? Have you ever heard of us? Stick your hands up. Give me one word. If I said to you City Mission, what do you think of? Come on, guys, you have to join in, otherwise I get nervous.
Homeless?
Yeah. Anything else?
Counselling?
Street evangelism, care van, all that kind of thing. The City Mission has been working in the city for about 200 years. And its mandate has always been to work with the poor and the marginalised. When we started back in 1870, whatever it was, there were loads of poor in the city, loads of depravity, loads of high concentration housing, loads of alcohol problems, loads of depression, loads of people who are really struggling. And of course, that's not the same now, is it? As we work in one of the most beautiful cities in the world, you walk around, we've driven around this morning, we've seen beautiful architecture, beautiful hills, beautiful setting, but behind that facade, there is a community of people who are just hurting and need care, and they're not here. My heart is to transition. I want to come and I want to see your church ruined. I want to see it wrecked. I want to see it full of people who are hurting and need care, because that's what God's plan is for, not just for this church. You see, I believe I only get invited to churches where the Holy Spirit wants me to come, because that process has already started. And here this morning, I sense that that's beginning to happen. So what do I do? Okay, next slide, please. What I do basically is I oversee a ministry called Basics Bank. You can't read it, the print's a bit short. But Basics Bank has been working in the city now for about 4 years. I've been overseeing it for 2.5 years, and I have the privilege of setting up food banks. Now, food banks are in the news quite a lot at the moment. Trussell Trust is active in the city. It's looking to set up even more food banks. Do I get upset about that? No, because there are so many people who need our help. Last year, we helped over 400 people who come to us for anything between 6 to 8 weeks, And we gave away 25,000 kilos of food. That's a lot of food, isn't it? It is, believe me. It's a lot of food. And so I want to thank you if you've contributed to that. I want to thank you on behalf not only of the mission, but the families who use that food as well. So thank you. But without those contributions, we do not exist. Everything is donated. We don't have £1 million to go to Tesco's and buy the tins and the beans and tuna and all that kind of thing. In its simplest essence, next slide please. In its simplest essence, it works like this. Excuse me. Perhaps could I have some water? We have a list of referring agencies, both statutory and non-statutory. People who recognise they've got a problem in their life go to a support agency, and when that support agency recognises food poverty is a problem, they will refer them to us. In its simplest, that's what Basics Bank is about. We can justify what we do, Matthew 22, when you do it for the least of these, you do it for me also. But if that's all we ever see, we are falling so far short of the potential of a Basics Bank. And I'm talking to you about Basics Bank this morning because it's my heart that you begin to see where it might fit into what you're doing. And when you look at to your development meeting in a few weeks' time, Basics Bank is going to be high on the list. I make no apologies for making that appeal. Will you begin to pray? Is this something that this church has been called to do? If it's not, maybe God's going to call for you to come and help in Basics Bank. Now, I'm going to ask you to do one of three things at the end of today. None of them is to give money so you can relax. Firstly, would you please pray for us? Join the mail list, get our newsletters, and pray. Because without prayer, we don't go anywhere. I remember probably the third week I went into West Pilton, to the Basics Bank there, and we went into the storeroom, and we had about half a tins of pasta, a few tins of tuna, and lots of mouse droppings. Being the new guy on the block, I said, okay, you can bring the food out now, guys. We've got people coming. And one of my helpers said, yeah, you're right, Steve, we've got people coming, but we don't have any food today. Thank you. Excuse me. One of my ladies said, Steve, we just need to pray. And it was said in desperation rather than faith. We just have to pray. So we got the team together, we prayed. And a church that would have supported us by bringing food at the end of the month came on that day. And three dear old ladies came off the estate with a few tins in a carrier bag. And that day we had 19 people. I've no idea how much food we gave out. But we fed 19 people. At the end of the day, we had 6 bags of pasta, some tins of tuna, and a few more mouse droppings. You see, when God's in something, he will stretch us. Are you ready to be stretched this morning? One or two people are smiling. That's a nervousness, perhaps. But we're going to be stretched. God will stretch us in all that we're called to do. So please, please, please pray for us. Food. We do need food. The way it works is that we give each client a shopping list. They tick what they need. Why do we do that? Because it's about empowering them to have choice. You could turn up for a parcel of food. You could give it to them and say, bye, that's you done. But by going through a shopping list, it's time to talk. It empowers them. They've got choice. It gives us a chance then to spend half an hour just welcoming, sharing tea and coffee. You see, at a Basics Bank, food is not the issue. What is the underlying issue? Why do people need food? The truth is, perhaps they don't really need food. We can give them bread, but without the bread of life, what are we doing? But I need food to give away so that we can sit down and chat and pray for these guys. So if you've got spare tins, buy one, get one free. Christmas is coming. Please, give us your food. Can't even remember what the third thing is, but it's not money. It'll come to me in a minute. But that's how we work, okay? One more click. That was the way it worked 2 years ago when I came to the City Mission. By the way, if you'd have told me if you'd have told me 5 years ago when I was living in Shetland that I'd be a missionary, I'd have laughed at you. Who remembers Boxing Day 2004? Day that changed my life. Sat watching the tsunami. Do you remember that? 2004. You're sat here today and you don't know where God's going to take you. But by just asking a simple question to one of the guys in the church that I was helping to lead, what are your plans for India? 3 years later, I'm in a village praying for people. We'd go to church in the morning, we'd process through the village with the drums going. That'd look great on South Clark Street, wouldn't it? Get a band going. This is a worshipping church, the worshippers always go out first. We'd go to church, we'd celebrate and share communion, we'd go back and eat, and then we'd just go and pray for the houses and the homes of the believers. That's the model they saw, and that's what we did. Small village, Patty Colony, 12 or 13 dwellings. We go into one, and you know, you do that obligatory bless this house, all that kind of stuff, unless God gives something very specific. We prayed for one guy, a big ulcer on his leg was healed. That was really encouraging for us. Think that'd happen in Edinburgh? Could God do that in Edinburgh? Yeah, he's going to do it here. He will do it here. As I'm walking past two small walls, the pastor said to me, "Steve, come and pray for this family." And as I turned, I saw two walls about so high. There's no hearth on the ground. There's no pots, pans. All I see in the corner is a load of rubbish. And as I turn and look, from under this rubbish stands up an 80-year-old woman. She has no male dependents. She's destitute to all intents and purposes. She has no economic security. And yet she's a member of a church. As I sort of caught my breath next to her, another lady stood, probably about 60. And as the pastor asked me to pray, I was shocked. I didn't know what to do. What can you pray in that situation? So I put my arms out as a gesture to God to give me something to pray. And these two dear ladies came and put their heads on my shoulder in a community where physical contact in public between men and women is taboo, and certainly between brown and white. And we cried. God so broke my heart. You see, I've been in Mumbai, a city of 17 million, and I'd worked in the slums where 5 million people live, and to my shame, all I had was pity. And yet with these two women, they came, and we cried and we hugged. I then got belligerent. I berated the pastors, robbed them of all their money, found a builder who would put a roof on these walls. I came home about 5 or 6 weeks later. I get an email. "Steve, we've built a house for the sisters in Patty Colony. They'd done so much more than I thought they could." And it was great. And I go back a couple of years later, and I said to Pastor Lazar, the guy who invited me over, he said, Steve, what do you want to do? I said, "The first thing I want to do is to go to Patty Colony to go and see the sisters." And as we went into the village, these two women came running. And what, you know the scripture, what is sown in tears, we reaped in joy. We just cried tears of joy. We go into the new house. It's one of those square things with a flat roof so you can live outside and downstairs with the steps up. I'm sure you can imagine what it looks like. Walk in, there's still no bed and there's still no thing. So we still had to do a bit more teaching on about how to transition there. But the reason I share that story is for two reasons. One, it illustrates to me that it's one, that one connection, one person, one event, one touch from the King. That's what it's about. But in that village, the headman saw what the church had done for that elderly couple. He came to the church that we were working with, the Indian Pentecostal Church, and they said, "If I give you the land, would you build a school and would you run it?" And the guy said, "Yeah, of course, we'll, on condition that we can use the school on Sundays for a meeting. We turn it into a church." The guy said, "Better than that, I'll build you a church as well." So here's a Hindu, the chief of his village. We build a school, we build a church. 6 months later, he comes to Jesus. That is the power of a simple act. And of course, because he does, all the village do, and the effect and the ripples go on. Small steps, small acts. Do you want to see that happen here in Edinburgh? Do you want to see that in Newington? Do you want to see that on that street today? Are you with me? Have you faith for it? That's what we can do with Basics Bank. So the way it works is, to take it one step further, we've got people who work with us who are specialists in addictions ministry. We work very closely with Christians Against Poverty because money management and lack of money are big issues to lots of our clients. We do this thing called the gospel thing. That's what the clients want to call it. When they come through Basics Bank, we have those discussions. We give away Bibles and why Jesus and all that. But once we get them together as a support group, they begin to become more comfortable. We can expand the gospel, explain it a bit more fully perhaps. And that's when we see lives changed. I don't run this just to give food away. Of those 400 people, I want to see them all saved. I can't do that. It's the Holy Spirit. We know that. But we can have those conversations. What do you think about the big things of life? Just thinking of a client who came. Let's call her Nikki. Nikki came to us. She was a heroin addict. And she funded that habit any way she could. You don't need too much of imagination. So she started coming to Basics Bank, and over a period of about a year on and off, we had regular contact with us. And one day she just heard the gospel, knew that she could be free from her sin, free from the past. She could become a new creation. And she came to the foot of the cross and she asked for forgiveness of her sin, and Jesus touched her. And her life changed amazingly. We connected her to a local church. She met a guy who knew all about her past. And one Friday morning, he said to her, "Nikki, would you marry me?" And Nikki said, "Yes." 2 o'clock in the afternoon, her boyfriend has an enormous heart attack in her arms, and he dies. She came to see us the following Basics Bank, and you can imagine we cried with her. But she said these words, "Steve, I'm going to be okay. I'm in a church that loves me." And Jesus just wanted him more than I could ever. Such words of faith. But without the local church, she wouldn't have had that support network. So we can establish satellite Basics Banks. We can see people come to faith. We can pray for healing. We can show them to the gospel. But without the local church, we can do very little. Do you want to be part of that story? Because we can give you people through Basics Bank who need your love and care, but they need Jesus more. Do you want to put your arms around a woman who was once a prostitute and see her as your sister? They're out there. They are out there. Story after story I could tell you. We've got some students here. I want to tell you a story about a foreign student who came to us, was referred by one of the universities. She came from the Far East. She was studying business studies. Straight A student. Cost an awful lot of money for the family to send her. She didn't come from a wealthy family. She arrives in Edinburgh, beautiful as it is. It's cold, the food is strange, the people are even stranger. And slowly she just begins to feel isolated. And with the weight of isolation and the weight of expectation on her shoulders from her family at home, her grades just begin to slip. We get a phone call, could you help her? Could you at least see her? And I said, yeah, of course we can. So we brought her along and we gave her some food. When you got food in your stomach, your brain works a bit smarter. And with the love and the attention and the care and the support from Basics Bank volunteers, slowly the grades began to come back. Her identity, who she is in Christ, overcame her identity as a daughter and the weight of expectation. And I'm sure she'll be a success. She's a beautiful girl. She's very smart, very intelligent. But sometimes we just need someone around us to say hi, don't we? Is this a place where you could do that? I believe it is. I believe it is. So that's the how. The next slide, please. That's the how. That's how we do it. But you know what? That doesn't matter one iota. Because if we don't understand the why, the how doesn't matter. That's why I share you the few stories to tell you why we do it. So I want to unwrap a little bit for the next 3 hours the biblical basis for what we do. Okay, next slide, please. Just look at that for a minute. You see, I'm a picture person and I'm not a word person. Just look at those pictures for a minute. Communion, togetherness, sharing. The next two speak of love and sacrifice, a price that needs to be paid. And the last one speaks of that ultimate victory. We're all waiting for the day when he comes back, aren't we? I love that song. It is well with my soul. But you know, while we're waiting for him to come back, we've still got a battle to fight here. Next slide, please. So that's the why. Okay, we're going to run through some scriptures really quickly, and then I'm going to focus on some scripture from John. As I go around churches, I am so excited and I get so frustrated. The Great Commission tells us what? No. Basically, can I paraphrase it into Yorkshire? Get out there and do it. Go and do everything I've taught you to do. Is that a fair paraphrase? Would you agree? Anybody not agree? I'll speak to you later. We know that. We've got a heart to do it. People understand that. That's what the church is about. Next clip, please. There's another scripture which runs alongside that, which is what I call the Great Commandment. What does that say? To love God with everything you've got and to love each other as yourselves. So on one hand, in our church, we've got this thing about the commission. We understand that. On the other hand, we've got this thing about the greatest commandment, about this lovey-dovey stuff. How do we make it work together? You see, never before, next slide please, in my experience, never before have I seen so many people looking for something that they don't know what it is. And over here we've got the church that's never put so much time, energy and resources into connecting with those that are looking, but somehow we miss it, don't we? I was so intrigued to see that I could go to a conference, the dawn of the golden age of light. That sounds really interesting, doesn't it? What's all that mumbo jumbo about? Connect with cosmic transformation through cosmic something or other intelligence. People are out there looking. We don't want to poo-poo them. We need to begin to speak their language. We need to look at ourselves and say, why are they not coming here to look on a Sunday morning? Pilgrimages, different religions, all this thing called spirituality. Do you know there's never been such a time to live as we've got now? Interest in tarot cards and crystals and horoscopes. And we've got a festival here. We should, you know, God's bringing us all these pagans down to a festival. How can we connect? What can we do? So we're busy doing all kinds of activity. You know, please don't take this with, if it comes across as critical anyway, then I apologize. It's not meant to. But we can do Alpha. We can do Christianity Explored. We can do Touchy Feely. We can do all kinds of things. And we appear to be busy doing things. So how are we going to connect? Why are we busy doing things? Just hold that thought, hold that intention for a minute. Now, when Colin invited me, I said, Colin, tell me, are your guys really, really well taught? He said, of course they are. Well, he would, wouldn't he? Yeah. So I feel really comfortable in asking you this question, and please just tell me what you feel, all right? When was the first human crisis? Anybody in my team be quiet? You've heard this so many times. When was the first human crisis? Adam, expand. Oh, You are so well taught in this church. Did somebody put you up to that? In many churches I go, the immediate response is Adam and Eve, the fall, original sin. And we focus so much on Genesis 3 as church because we are dealing with the consequences of that, aren't we? Yeah? Nobody thinks we're in a good state without Jesus, do we? So often, we try to point out to people and tell them about their what I call fallenness. You're depraved, you're born horrible, you've got all these things going on in your life. Has anybody seen a thing called the teabag gospel? Check it out on YouTube, it'll give you a laugh. We're so full of this black stuff inside us and we're connected to the devil. Don't want to be critical about that, but I didn't hear anything about repentance from that. It's only half the story. So we focus on Genesis 3, and I understand that, and I'm not going to diss that, and I'll explain a little bit more about that in a minute. But as my brother said, before sin entered the world, if you don't believe me, check it out in your Bible. Before sin entered the world, God said in this amazing creative process at the end of each day, which was good, which was God, God said, Adam, it's not good to be alone. Most of these people that we see in Basics Bank, they don't need us to tell them how bad they are. They're struggling with their issues of their life. It could be addiction. It could be debt. Might have just lost your job. Low self-esteem. In a few months' time, we'll have people who come through our doors who are earning big bucks and have got big mortgages, but the interest rate at the minute is zero. And when the Chancellor changes that, we will see our socio-economic profile change. People will come to your door asking for help who are earning maybe 50, 60, 70, 100,000 pounds a year. Why? Because they're spending 110, 150, or maybe even 200,000 pounds. So they know this, they know that they're not doing so well. But the route to connect them is to meet them relationally and address that aloneness issue. Guys, if anything I said does not stack up in scripture, you need to throw it in the bin. You need to go away and check out what I say. You maybe even need to chew the fat a bit. But if we had church which focuses more on the aloneness issue and uses that as a gateway to meet the fallenness issue, we will be full to the rafters. And why would we do that? Why wouldn't we want to do that? Let's just follow what Jesus did, shall we? Do you want to care to look at some scripture? You've heard enough of my voice now. Yeah, let's look at some scripture. If you've got your Bibles with you, would you turn to, I think it's John 5. John 5, 1 to 14. Again, a story, a scripture that you're probably very familiar with. We'll read through it and then I'll pick out a few points that we'll talk about and then we'll see where it goes. Still okay? Still with me? No one's left yet, that's good. Okay, I'm reading this from the NIV. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he was been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me." And then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who'd been healed, "It's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this fellow? Very English. Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you're well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. Father, I just want to thank you for your word. Lord, in my human capacity, I need your help. Just open this up. So, Lord, I ask for the divine gifts of revelation and illumination this morning, just to see what you're saying to our hearts through this word. Okay, so here we've got a story that you're all familiar with. And I just want to look at one or two things that hit me. So first of all, and this is in the Basics Bank context, okay? As I'm talking to you, I'm looking at what we do in Basics Bank and see how the two marry up. First thing I see, a man has been an invalid for 38 years. Guys, if you're under 38, could you put your hand up for me, please? Most of you. We've got a man who has been on the ground, his legs don't work, for 38 years. A long time, isn't it? He's probably giving up hope of ever being healed. He said that he's got no one to help him when the waters are stirred, he can't get into the water. We come across people like that who've been struggling with issues for years. Maybe from neglect and abuse when they were children. Maybe multiple marriages, multiple partners. And they are just like this man. 38 years. And it's interesting, I think, when Jesus asks him the question, do you want to be healed? He never answers that, does he? He makes up some kind of comment. And when we talk to people, when we listen to people and ask those questions, we hear similar things. Oh, well, I'm always going to be like this. Or we're so distracted from the reality of our situation sometimes. We don't expect help. We're happy with our lot. I'll always be, and stick the label you want on there. And then news gets out. Now, this is when I'm going off into Steve land. I'm beginning to think in cartoons. I'm a picture person, as I said. So word starts going around that this amazing thing's happened. And the church leadership get to hear about it, and they're up in arms, aren't they? What's going on here? Let's go and find this guy. So off they go, and they say, who told you to pick up your mat? They totally miss the fact he's been healed. They're not interested. Legalism, isn't it? Adherence to the law. I call this Jesus hidden in plain view. If they'd looked, they could see who it was and what had happened. And it's interesting that Jesus slips away into the background at the marketplace after it's happened. He didn't want to draw attention to himself at that time. So we've got these guys in fine robes, very indignant, walking up. Tell me, who told you to pick up your mat? And this guy, who's been an invalid for how long? 38 years. Probably, I don't know, 5-10 minutes later, the way the bush telegraph works. They come to him and say, who told you to do this? And the guy goes, no idea. This chap who did it, he suddenly disappeared. I've got no idea who he is. And the people who come to Basics Bank have got no understanding who Jesus is. I'm sure they've heard of him, but they've no idea who he is. He's a good teacher, or he's a nice man, or he did some healing. They don't understand that he's the Messiah. He's their Messiah. He's their friend, the friend of sinners. They've no perception, no understanding. And you know, as we begin to talk to them and give them a booklet called Why Jesus, or whatever else you use here, it is a revelation to them who this man really is. So tell me, who healed you? No idea. And so he goes on to do his thing. And then later, he's in the marketplace. And I'm still thinking in cartoons. So I imagine Jesus walking up to this guy and saying, "Hey, mate, how are you doing? It's really good to see you looking so well." And this guy goes, "Oh, do you know what? Life's been terrible since you healed me. Legs work, I've got to get a job. You know, there's no one to carry me around anymore. I wish you'd not done that." Well, he didn't say that. But sometimes people are like that, aren't they? They're so used to being in a place, they don't see what the potential is and what freedom comes. Why? Because we don't explain it. As evangelicals, we are so good at bringing people to the point of making a decision, but we forget there's so much more after. It's just the beginning. That's why I need the church. That's why these guys need local church. Because we can't do that. We don't have the time and the resources, but you do. That is your commission. That is what you've been called to do within the Great Commandment framework. You guys can fulfill the commission within the commandment framework. Amen? So what does Jesus then say to him? This is what really gets me, because Jesus was never soft on sin, was he? "It's great to see you looking so well. Now, stop sinning. Because if you don't, something worse will happen." We should never be soft on the fallenness issue. But look at the way he did it. He saw the guy. He reached out relationally. He stepped into his world. He spoke. Something amazing happened. And then he said, "We now need to sort out everything else in your life." That's why I find Basics Bank so exciting. That's why I'm just so privileged to be involved in what we do. And have we seen hundreds of people come to faith? No. But we've seen 4 and 5. And how's the kingdom built? One soul at a time. We have to be intentional about what we do. We always have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and how he did it. We always need to check ourselves too. And that's why I'm so privileged to be involved in Basics Bank. That's what it can do. If you are looking as a church to reach out into your community, I commend it to you. Speak to the people who are involved in it. Come and see for yourselves. Come and see if what I'm saying is true. Because I know of no other ministry that do what we do in the same way that we do it. I'm not going to blow our own trumpet. Because it's not about me. It's not even about the people that we look to serve. It's about him, isn't it? I just want to draw it to an end. You see, I believe, next slide please. And please go away and check the other stories where Jesus reaches out. Zacchaeus, a short man hiding up a tree. Jesus pays him the ultimate compliment, and the outcome of that is what? Salvation comes to the house. The woman at the well. Jesus speaks to a woman who's a Samaritan, who's a Samarian, tells her some amazing truth about her life, and the result of what is what? Revival. Just one touch. Just one touch. The church lives out its call most fully when it is a community of faith. Love each other as yourselves. With its arms wrapped around a community of pain. The church lives out its call most fully when it is a community of faith with its arms wrapped about a community of pain. I don't use the message very often. It's not something I like. But these words from Isaiah ring true. And this is my prayer for you as you seek God in the way forward. As you seek God in connecting with your community, let these words dwell in your spirit. This is the kind of fast day I'm after. To break the chains of injustice. To get rid of exploitation in the workplace. Free the oppressed. Cancel debt. What I'm interested in seeing you do is this. Sharing your food with the hungry. Inviting the homeless poor into your homes. Putting clothes on shivering ill-clad, being available to your own families. Do this and the lights will turn on and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Then you will pray. God will answer your call out for help. Sorry, you'll call out for help and I'll say, here I am. As you spent time being still with God at the beginning this morning, he's saying to you, call out to me and I will say, here I am. If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about other people's sin, if you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I'll always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places, firm muscles, strong bones. You will be like a well-watered garden, a girdling spring that never runs dry. This is my prayer for the communities in which I work. You will use the old rubble of past lives to build anew. Rebuild foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything. Restore old ruins. Rebuild and renovate. And make the community livable again. Do you want a community where there's life? Do you want a community where there's justice and mercy? Do you want to see a community where the kingdom of God actually is? I commend Basics Bank to you. If what I've said this morning is beginning to stir you, speak to your leadership team. I'll be around for a little bit this afternoon. Come and talk to me. Speak to the people involved in Basics Bank in this church. There's Rachel, Kieran, Margaret, who's not here this morning, I don't think. Begin to find out and earnestly seek God. Is this something that you've been called to do? I just want to go back for a minute, okay? Guys, could you just come up and play something? Just something. Come up now. Those words, in the garden, it is not good for man to be alone. When I realised that that was before sin entered the world, there was a bit of an explosion. Not a very big one, because I don't have a big brain. If it was apt and right and present in the garden with Adam, who had perfect connection with Father God as his creator, he walked every day in the garden with God. And he had total command of his environment. He was the ultimate eco-warrior, if you like. There's no brambles, there's no pollution. If Adam could be so alone in a perfect setting like that, is it possible that in the thing that we call church, there is aloneness? Are you sat here this morning saying, yeah, it's okay to talk about this community, Steve, but that's not been my experience? Might not have been in this church. You might have come here from other churches where things didn't go right. And for the moment, this is your lifeboat. If that's you this morning, God wants to reach down into your aloneness. He wants to minister to you. And he could do that just with a command from his voice. But do you know what the amazing thing is? So often he chooses other fallen people to minister his grace to us. So if that's you this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Not going to drag this out. Very simply, if you feel alone in your circumstances right now, if you've been misunderstood in your family, if you've faced rejection from your parents, if you've stood up and done the right thing and it's been costly in your workplace, I'm going to ask people to pray for you. Let's just spend a minute to be real with God. This is between you and God. As the musicians play, just take that time. But please do not leave here without asking someone to pray for you. Sandy and I work in the area of marriage enrichment. If you've been damaged in that area, maybe you've been divorced through no fault of your own, and you've been to church and the church rejected you, please come and let Sandy and I pray for you. But please don't leave here today with that burden. Just be still and know God.